Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
As the youngest man ever elected president of the United States, JFK represented promise, idealism, and uncertainty. That was the outward JFK. What few people knew about him were his inner battles with chronic health problems that nearly killed him on a number of occasions. His toughening as a second son in the competitive Kennedy clan. John F. Kennedy came to the White House confident and tough, but unseasoned and inexperienced. The failed Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba showed that inexperience early on, but the nuclear confrontation between the U.S. and the Soviet Union showed the confident Kennedy, who led the U.S. into a standoff with the Russians and then led the world away from a nuclear holocaust.
Good evening, my fellow citizens. This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military buildup on the island of Cuba. Within the past week, unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere.
Because he was assassinated just a year after the Cuban Missile Crisis, we're left with puzzle pieces that do not make a complete picture of a presidency. Glimpses of brilliance, a shining beacon of glamour and innocence, but with much of his program undone and mistakes about to be made and made. A puzzle.
We will never know whether he would have been a great president. I bet on him, but we didn't have that chance.
One of the voices from the PBS special American Experience, JFK, it airs tonight on PBS stations and was produced by our partner, WGBH. Historian and author Robert Caro is a contributor to that documentary. He's also the author of The Passage of Power, The Times of Lyndon Johnson. Caro says it is almost impossible to separate the qualities of Kennedy and his vice president, Lyndon Johnson, to calculate a legacy for either one of these towering figures. It is these strange opposites in personality and strength that came together in the moment Oswald's bullet took away JFK forever.
Jack Kennedy had this wonderful way of touching our idealism and the highest things in America. And he had made this wonderful speech introducing the Civil Rights Bill. But at the fact is, unpleasant as it is to look at it, that at the time of his assassination, that civil rights bill was going nowhere in Congress. Lyndon Johnson comes in and rescues it because he is a great lawmaker. Jack Kennedy had not really been all that involved in the work of the Senate.
And the work of the Congress, the workings of government itself. Jack Kennedy touched America, but he had yet to touch Washington.
That's a terrific way of putting it. A columnist wrote, Jack Kennedy's eloquence is designed to make men think. Lyndon Johnson's words are designed to make men act, you know, and that is a difference.
Perhaps the best evidence of the Kennedy presidential legacy is how he performed during the Cuban Missile Crisis, in the sense that all of his confidence and his intellectual power and his willingness to take risks, and he was the crazy risk taker of the family, came to the fore there. And it really showed him to be presidential in a way that almost no other event during the JFK tenure does. What do you make of the Cuban Missile Crisis?
I think it shows. This is the greatness of Jack Kennedy. You know, when you listen to the tapes of the Cuban Missile Crisis, there are moments. The Russians on Cuba have shot down another United States spy plane. All around that table, we said if they did this, we'd attack. We're going to attack now. We must attack tomorrow. Everyone is pushing. Everyone. The majority are pushing for an invasion or an all-out bombing attack on Cuba. You know what Jack Kennedy says? Gentlemen, it's time to take a break for dinner. Let's come back and discuss this later. When he establishes this quarantine line and the Russian ships are headed towards it, and he said if one of the Russian ships cross it, we're going to stop and board it. This is the moment when wars start. Time and again, during these 13 days of the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy draws them back, in effect saying, let's not stop this ship. We'll stop the next ship. Let's give peace one more day. Maybe I can negotiate with Khrushchev. Maybe we can work it out. And finally, he does. And you really say, you know, we were on the verge of nuclear war. We were so close then. Everything else in Kennedy's presidency, in my view, pales before what he did in that most crucial of moments when mankind was really facing the possibility of nuclear war.
In Kennedy's life, on his way to the White House, the question was, is he tough enough? Johnson didn't believe he was tough enough. Historians have pointed out that nobody in the Cuban Missile Crisis team was without questions about whether Kennedy was tough enough. You've made a career as a historian of getting into the heads of these leaders and these mythological figures. Do you think Kennedy believed he was tough enough during the Cuban Missile Crisis?
You know, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, he's just finished reading Barbara Tuchman's The Guns of August.
Mm. We're one about World War One.
About how World War One started. He says, you know, that was The Guns of August. If I make a mistake here, they're going to be writing a book about this and they're going to call it The Missiles of October. Kennedy is really tough.
So thinking back 50 years, do we yearn for Kennedy's capacity to make a decision and Johnson's capacity to act and deliver, qualities we don't find today?
If I can put it in terms of my book, I call it the passage of power. It's the passage of power from one president with certain qualities to another president with very opposite qualities. But if you were to put those qualities together, Kennedy's eloquence and his ability to touch the highest idealism of America, and Johnson's fantastic ability to get these bills. I mean, you listen to Johnson cajoling, bullying, flattering, listening to congressmen. What do they really want? What are they really afraid of? You know, what do I have to do to get their votes? You say, those are two people with opposite qualities, but really striking qualities.
Robert Caro, thanks so much.
Always great to be here, John.
Robert Caro is the author of The Passage of Power and Dallas, November 22, 1963. He's also featured in WGBH's American Experience, JFK.